Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by Audi Norwell. Audi Norwell, your exclusive Audi dealer on the South Shore.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'd actually like to address something, if that's okay.
No.
And oh, by the way, can we address the ground rules there? What is going on?
We're in a different era.
Ken Obrey from Boston, bro.
Didn't shower. Didn't use a towel. I got in the bed, out of the bed.
Stink up the joint.
Chris, I can't make this. You see the text, right?
It's not your money. What do you care?
Because it didn't happen that night.
He claims that he was taking testosterone. He was prescribed testosterone from a doctor because
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale, let's go.
And you were waiting for the power, right? That's the one thing you were waiting for.
All right, here we go. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
All right, well, off we go. Brian Barrett for the next 3 hours or so. WEI Late Night, the number 617-779-7937. And the question I want to ask you off the top is, are you starting to get annoyed with Rob Gronkowski? Because the big story now is a press release was sent out yesterday from Sharp Communications on behalf of the former tight end of the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski. In the press release, it was revealed that on the 27th, Gronk will hold a press conference to unveil his next chapter, and a bunch of people in the media were invited to go to New York and see what Gronk's going to do next. The guess is yours. Who knows what he's going to do? Is it going to be WWE? Is he going to write another book? That's been put out there by a lot of people, including Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. It feels like it's going to be a very underwhelming announcement where Rob Gronkowski is going to be sitting there in front of the media. He's going to announce some weird TV show he's doing or a book or something along those lines. I'm not very interested in it whatsoever. But what I am interested in is getting your opinion on Rob Gronkowski right now. Is he starting to get under your skin a little bit? Because I really start to go through some of this stuff with Gronkowski and him hinting at returning to the football field. So let's start with this one. Gronk on Instagram on the 7th earlier this month, and he did this. He sent out an Instagram to George Strait. George Strait, of course, the country singer. He performs at Gillette on the 17th, which will be this Saturday. And this is what he said to George Strait. And remember, this is George Strait's first performance since 2014, which was considered to be George Strait's retirement tour. This is what Gronk said on his Instagram post. I thought you were retired, but I'm glad you're not. I'll see you then. Okay, a little dicey there from Gronk, right? Leading you on a little bit there. You're like, wait, hold on. He's saying that he's not retired anymore. Does that mean Gronk's not retired anymore? Annoying, right? Okay, so then the second one. And these are in no particular order. They're just the ones that I came up with off the top of my head that I can remember where he hinted at a possible return. The Billboard Music Awards, remember? He first says that those on their Twitter page or Instagram page, whatever it was, they posted the video where he first says he's retired, but then he says this, quote, you never know if you mess around that much about it, I might convince myself to return. I kind of like retirement right now. I'm resting, recovering. I'm feeling good. It's all going good. Okay, so that's the second one at the Billboard Music Awards. Then he does the interview with Rich Eisen, remember? And this is actually before the George Strait thing, but he did the interview with Rich Eisen, and he said, it's still the offseason right now. I mean, I can't really say how I'm going to feel about it when the games start rolling around and everything. Another hint that Gronkowski could return to the football field. Okay, so let's move on to number four. Gronk was joking around, or was he, with Drew Brees at the ESPYs when he said, I'm going to come back. Remember, there was that little video with Rob Gronkowski and Drew Brees, and he literally says in the video, you can see it, and you can hear it, he says, I'm coming back. Okay, how about Drew Rosenhaus on Get Up right after Gronkowski announces his retirement? On Get Up, Drew Rosenhaus literally said this, quote, if the team was struggling or they needed him at some point next year, and let's just say hypothetically, Tom Brady gave him a call and said, Rob, I need you. I wouldn't be shocked if he came back to play a few games. So his agent, the most powerful agent in the NFL, is out here on Get Up literally the day that Rob Gronkowski retired, or I guess technically the day after, right? The day after the announcement, whatever it was. It was the Monday after he made the announcement. You have his agent on ESPN saying, well, Gronk could return if Tom Brady gave him a call. Okay, so that's five examples this offseason that he's given you that he could possibly return to the football field. Oh, yeah, there's one other one. Remember who he's playing catch with in Los Angeles at UCLA? Oh, yeah, Tom Brady. And it just so happened that they were in the same location at the same place in Los Angeles. So Tom just got on the phone and said, hey, Gronk, you want to play catch? Okay, so those are six examples of times this offseason where Rob Gronkowski has hinted at the possibility of returning to the football field. So I'll ask you this, and now we have the latest thing, and this doesn't seem like it's about football, obviously. It seems like he's announcing his new venture, the new chapter in his life, whatever the case may be. But I'll ask you this question. Is he starting to annoy you? 617-779-7937. Because from my perspective, this is getting old. This is already getting old with Rob Gronkowski. We've seen this happen before in the NFL, haven't we? Brett Favre did this crap all the time to the Minnesota Vikings. And remember, the same crap happened with Gronk last year. After the Super Bowl, the loss to the Eagles, remember Rob Gronkowski? He was asked about, hey, is it true that you could possibly retire? And Gronk said, I don't know where you'd get that. And it took him till April to say he's returning for the 2018 season. Okay, it took him that long to announce last year that he was coming back to the football field where it was actually a story. Hey, this is starting to become an annual thing with Rob Gronkowski, and now he's retired, but is he really retired? That's what we have to start asking ourselves, and I just wish that he'd stop putting all these feelers out there, stop teasing the team, or teasing the fan base, I should say. It's just getting really annoying to me. And I think back to another thing that irritates me about this whole Rob Gronkowski situation, and that's the Jared Cook thing this offseason. Because do you remember what happened then? So Mike Reese of ESPN covers the Patriots, has been covering the Patriots for a number of years. We all know Mike Reese. But nonetheless, I actually don't know him personally, but everybody knows who he is. Mike Reese actually said this as it pertains to Jared Cook. Because remember, the Patriots were after Jared Cook in free agency. And Mike Reese had this to say, quote, Rob Gronkowski's uncertain status seems to have played a significant part in Cook's thinking, as there is a clear path to a top role on the tight end depth chart in New Orleans, end quote. So remember, Gronkowski waited until the end of March. He announced it, I believe, either March 22nd, March 23rd, that weekend. He announced that he was going to step away. He put it on Instagram that he was ultimately deciding that he's going to retire. Jared Cook was contemplating either joining one Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees or another Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady. But the problem for Jared Cook was he was thinking to himself, okay, well, if I go to the New England Patriots, am I going to be behind Rob Gronkowski on the depth chart? If I go to the Saints, I know that I'm the number one tight end there. So ultimately, because he didn't know what the future of Rob Gronkowski was going to be, he decided to stay with the Saints and go to the Saints. And then remember, a couple days later, the Patriots, it was reported they tried to get back in on Jared Cook, and Jared Cook said he's going to stick with his original plan, that he was going to join the New Orleans Saints. So I start to look at this, right? So Jared Cook last year, by the way, in Oakland, 896 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns, 56 yards per game, which actually was more than Gronk in terms of yards per game. Now they have a bunch of tight ends. Matt Lacoste, 250 receiving yards last season. Ben Watson, 400 yards in 16 games, 25 yards per game. And let's not forget with Ben Watson, he's somebody that's going to be suspended for the first 4 games of the season for the PED use. So Ben Watson's not going to be available until at least week 5 for the New England Patriots. Matt Lacoste already dealing with an injury. So if I look at this stuff from Gronk, he cost you the opportunity to maybe get another tight end. So he was going to be gone. He definitely knew before then. Don't you think Gronk knew before then when he made the announcement? So he was delaying the inevitable, if you will. If I was Bill Belichick, if I was anybody within that organization, I would have been completely irritated with the Rob Gronkowski situation. And now as somebody that watches the Patriots on a weekly basis, somebody that pulls for the Patriots, are you starting to get aggravated with how Rob Gronkowski has been handling this whole thing? Because to me, there's too much drama surrounding Rob Gronkowski. I understand the guy wants to start a new life. He wants to do his own thing. That's fine. Whatever. If Gronkowski wants to be a retired football player, why should any of us have an issue with it? I certainly don't. Look, the guy gave what? 9-10 years of quality play to the New England Patriots. Going all the way back to the Super Bowl, he was great this year. And I understand he didn't have a typical Gronk season, right? But when you needed him in a big game against the Chiefs, he was there. When you needed him against the Rams, the guy was there. And through the years, the guy has been incredibly productive. Nobody will ever take that away from Rob Gronkowski. So if Rob Gronkowski is saying, yeah, I want to step away, I'm done, I'm never playing again, I've had multiple injuries to my back, I've had an elbow procedure or a wrist procedure, the broken arm, whatever it was, and then it got infected, I had an ankle issue, I had multiple knee issues, I've had all these maladies throughout my NFL career. He wants to step away, fine. I love the way that Rob Gronkowski played football. Always will. And I appreciate what he did as a member of the New England Patriots. He completely rejuvenated this franchise. That combination of him and Aaron Hernandez, when Aaron Hernandez first came into the league, it ignited this Patriots offense. And Rob Gronkowski became arguably the best tight end in the history of the sport with the New England Patriots. And we know that he played hurt multiple times. We know this year he wasn't right for a good portion of the season, but he played through injuries, right? So we'll always appreciate what Rob Gronkowski did for the Patriots. So if you want to retire, nobody has an issue with that. Everybody can understand why you want to retire. You've had all these issues as it pertains to your body throughout the years. So we can understand why you'd want to do that. But what I can't get around and what I can't get on board with is all this teasing that Rob Gronkowski is doing to the fan base. All these hints that he could possibly retire. I don't want to deal with that crap. I don't want to deal with that crap for the next couple of years. I really don't. I'm already sick and tired of it. Now we get an announcement coming up in 2 weeks. Who knows what the hell is that's about? But if you're going to be retired, just stay retired. Because if you're not going to be retired, then get on board with the team now. Get on board with the team now. It seems like to me, and call me crazy, but it seems like what this is about, because I'm calling Gronkowski's bluff. I don't think the guy's staying retired. Okay, because ultimately what's going to happen is he's doing all this stuff with his brothers now, and I understand he's got some TV stuff that he's doing, and maybe he's going to write another book, whatever the case may be. Okay, I understand he's been doing this, like, unbelievable tour this summer. Essentially what he is, he's like America's guest, right? That's what he does. He goes on all these different TV shows and whatnot. He was on that pyramid show, whatever it was, with Michael Strahan. Julian Edelman was with him. But after all this fun kind of subsides, right? After he realizes that, like, you know, the summer vacation period is over, right? Julian Edelman's not hanging out with him anymore. Julian Edelman's playing football. Tom Brady's playing football, right? All the guys are playing football. And he's going to be sitting back. Yeah, he's got these opportunities to do all these things. I know he gets paid.
Porn.
He gets paid with, this is great. He gets paid for parties and all that different type of stuff. And we know that he's got a couple of TV opportunities. But when he sits down and he's hanging out on Sunday and he's got his brothers that he's always around, and he realizes, oh, wait, they're playing football today, aren't they? Like, he didn't want to do the dirty work, right? That's what Rob Gronkowski didn't want to do. And I don't blame him. He suffered all these injuries throughout his NFL career. So he didn't want to do all the dirty work. But eventually, at some point, he's going to realize, like, oh, yeah, that football thing. Yeah, kind of missed that. Yeah, I didn't miss the practice. I didn't miss the lifting, but yeah, that whole football thing, that was pretty good for me. I was pretty good at that thing. Maybe I want to get back out there and do it, because I can't imagine Gronkowski's done. Okay, I just don't see him actually being done when this is all said and done. So don't have this whole fan base waiting to see when your return is going to be.
I'm not Dunsky with Gronkowski.
Yeah, I'm with Ordway on that one. But it feels like to me what this is this is Gronkowski building up the Gronk brand. That's what he's trying to do right now, right? Because what Gronk wants, and you would think what Gronk wants, and I know he loves Tom Brady and all that, but remember, Rob Gronkowski has had issues with Bill Belichick throughout the years. We even go back to just last year. Remember what was going on at the beginning of the season? All the turmoil around this organization, and ultimately, it didn't affect the team. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. But remember, one of the storylines at the beginning of the season was what? There was a report that Bill Belichick and the Patriots were on the verge of trading Rob Gronkowski to the Detroit Lions. And then what happened? Gronkowski put an end to it. He said, I'll retire if you trade me anywhere else. I only want to play with Tom Brady. And that made Gronk even more beloved in the fan base, because everyone's like, yeah, Gronk, he only wants to play with Brady. We love Gronk, all that different type of stuff, right? Everybody's like, yeah, Gronk's staying. But the point being that Bill Belichick was already trying to move on from Rob Gronkowski because he was sick and tired of the stuff with Gronk. He was sick and tired of the retirement stuff. And Gronk was upset with his contract. So there was that Belichick angle to this, where Belichick said, hey, I'm just going to get rid of the guy. I don't want to deal with the headache anymore. And Belichick called his bluff, because he knew that Gronk would not want to play in another destination. And he got Gronk to get back on board. He gave him some incentives that Bill Belichick, just like the Brady incentives, knew that Gronk was never going to reach. And this goes back years with Belichick and Gronkowski, where Gronk has always been, it seems like, upset with his contract. You had his brother, Chris Gronkowski, on WEI earlier this year saying he just wants to be paid what he's worth. And I'm paraphrasing what he's saying, but he's essentially saying he wanted to be the top paid tight end and he wasn't the top paid tight end, and that's something that if his brother's actually saying that, it's obviously what Rob Gronkowski feels. Now, Gronkowski denied some of the stuff that his brother was saying, but obviously if his brother's on the radio saying this stuff, it's stuff that Gronkowski has said privately to his brother. So you had Gronk's brother actually saying how he's unhappy with the situation. So there's bad blood between Belichick and Gronk over the years. Now, it seems like they're always going to have that part of each other where it's like, okay, Gronk realizes what Bill did for Gronk, and Gronk also realizes what Bill did for him in terms of his career and helping him propel into one of the biggest stars in the sport for basically a decade. So there's always going to be that sense of gratitude that both sides have for each other, that each party has for the other. But at the end of this, Gronk and Belichick had issues throughout the years. And you also look at the fact that Gronk is, it's almost like he holds this against the Patriots at times, where he holds it against the Patriots that he didn't get the money that he ultimately wanted in terms of contracts. But if I was Gronk, I'd say, hey, dude, look at Drew Rosenhaus, right? Drew Rosenhaus is supposed to be this great agent, the best agent in the sport. And I'm not denying he is. But Belichick beat him every time at the negotiating table. Every time he came up for a contract, you got beat, okay? Drew Rosenhaus got beat by Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was the better businessman when it comes to discussing a contract between the two parties. There's no debating that whatsoever, because whatever Gronk was getting paid, he was getting underpaid, just like the whole situation with Brady. Brady's always been underpaid for years, and Bill Belichick is winning each and every one of those negotiations. He won it with Brady, and he won it with Gronk every single time those guys go to the negotiating table. So the problem with Gronk is he's mad at the wrong party. He should be mad at his agent for not getting him the proper money, at least in his eyes, that he thought ultimately he deserved. And not mad at the Patriots for that, because the Patriots were doing business like they've always done business throughout the years. You just have to realize that's the business end of this, Gronk. It's not a personal thing. It's a business thing. So I feel like what Gronk would want is Gronk would want to be the savior, right? And like I said, Gronk doesn't want Brady to struggle or anything along those lines, or Edelman to have a bad season. But don't you think it would help the Gronk brand? Because it feels like now this is what we're pushing, right? If we're working for Rob Gronkowski, we're pushing the Gronk brand. That's what Gronk's all about right now. The fact that you're having a press conference to announce the next chapter of his life, that's pushing the Gronk brand, trying to build up the Gronk brand, if you will. Okay, that's what they're trying to do right now. So don't you think it would be great for Gronk, from a PR standpoint, if the Patriots are struggling, or even if they're not struggling too much, but it's just like, you know, the offense looks good, but they could use another weapon. They could use that tight end in the seam. And say Ben Watson looks old, which he is, he's 38 years old. Say Lacoste doesn't work out, and you're like, geez, they really need that target in the middle of the field for Brady. They really need that guy in the seam. And then Brady actually does call Gronk, or Gronk wants to return. Like, that would be great for Gronk from a public relations standpoint, where it's like, well, the Patriots need Gronk, right? It feels like that's what Gronkowski wants in all this, is that the Patriots actually needing him. Because for years, it's been like, okay, Bill Belichick's gotten him to take less money, and whether or not Gronk wanted to, that's what's happened. But this could be the situation where the Patriots actually get desperate for Gronk. Because look, I get it. The other night, we saw some nice things from some of the young rookie wide receivers, Jacoby Myers, etc., N'Keal Harry, although N'Keal Harry dealing with an injury, not anything serious, but he made a couple of nice catches, had to leave the game. Braxton Berrios showed some nice things. We know what you have with Edelman. And look, a lot of people were high on what the receivers did the other night in a preseason game. Sorry, I'm not going to jump all on board with the Patriots receiving corps. Considering I was questioning it for a number of weeks. I'm not settled on the Patriots receiving corps just because they played well against the lifeless Lions the other night. By the way, Matt Patricia, he may be, everyone's talking about this Gerard Mayo title in terms of, is he really the defensive coordinator? Belichick wouldn't say that the other day, even though earlier in the day you had a member of his defense, Daron Harmon, say that he's been calling the plays. So whether or not he wants to give him the title or not, it seems like Gerard Mayo is that. But hey, if they're going to be looking for a defensive coordinator next year, they're going to have Matt Patricia, because that guy's ultimately going to be shown as walking papers the way things are going in Detroit right now. They look like they don't want to play for Matt Patricia whatsoever. But anyway, getting back to the original point, the fact that these receivers, they had one great game against a Detroit Lions team, I'm not fully buying in on the Patriots weaponry or lack thereof. Okay, yeah, I like what I see from Jacoby Myers, but let me actually see it when he's in a regular season game. Let me see these guys actually perform when it comes to a real NFL Sunday, not a fake game against a team that sucks. Okay, I actually want to see it in a major game. So there is a scenario where the Patriots weaponry looks bad. Where the Patriots look like, we don't have a lot of options in terms of the passing game. Yeah, Edelman's been good. We can run the football a little bit, but we need some playmakers. Yeah, N'Keal Harry looks like he's going to be something, but he's not ready for prime time yet, right? We need more out of N'Keal Harry. Or maybe we need another weapon in the middle of the field, and then Gronkowski, that guy becomes available. It seems like that could actually manifest itself this year, where the Patriots need Rob Gronkowski on the football field to be productive, to be the offense they want to be. And if Brady wants him, considering the fact that this contract dispute, it seemed like there was more than a dispute than an agreement, if you will, then maybe Gronkowski comes in on the white horse. That's what I feel like Gronkowski wants, is he wants the Patriots to need him, not the other way around. Because right now the Patriots are acting like he doesn't exist, which they should, right? I mean, Brady spoke about it briefly on the Greg Hill show earlier this week about Gronk. He said he's happy for him and all that, but they're moved on. That's what happens here. Guys move on. That's what they do. They're trying to win a Super Bowl with this group of guys, okay? So right now, Gronkowski is irrelevant as it pertains to the Patriots, and we have not heard a lot from Gronk over the past couple weeks. That's why his team puts out, when they're in the middle of training camp, when they're getting ready for the regular season, that's when they put out what? They put out the fact that Rob Gronkowski is going to make an announcement in, 2 weeks from now. That's why they put that out there, because they're trying to get Gronk more in the news again. They're trying to make Gronk a relevant guy. And here's the thing that I would also ask. Do people really care what Rob Gronkowski is going to do next? If it's not playing for the New England Patriots, are you really, excited for Rob Gronkowski's next chapter of his life? Now we're all going to tune in because they put it out there, and credit to his PR people, that he's going to make an announcement. But after the announcement comes out, do you think we're really going to care what Rob Gronkowski ultimately decides to do next? I'm personally not, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that appeals to me. If it's a book, sorry, I'm not going to read it. If it's WWE, which I don't know if it's going to be WWE or what it's going to be, I'm not going to care about that because, quite frankly, I don't watch wrestling. I mean, I'm not into that. If that's your cup of tea, whatever. I mean, do your thing if you're a big wrestling fan. I mean, great. I'm sure maybe there's wrestling fans that would like it if Gronkowski joined the WWE, whatever the case may be. But if it's like another one of these Nickelodeon shows, sorry, I don't care about that either. I really don't. The only thing I care about personally is Rob Gronkowski playing football for the Patriots or not. And I still believe, call me crazy, I still believe that Rob Gronkowski is coming back at some point this season, because I believe that he wants that moment where he can try to help save the team if they're going through some sort of struggles. And I also think the fact he's going to realize that he's bored and he wants to play football again, despite all these opportunities he has with partying for money and Nickelodeon shows and maybe appearances on the WWE. That's not going to fill the hole that Gronkowski has. And I just hope this, and I did briefly allude to this a couple of weeks ago, I hope that Rob Gronkowski does not become Tiki Barber, where Tiki Barber thought that he was going to be this ultimate star. Essentially what he did is Tiki Barber thought he was going to be Michael Strahan. He thought he was going to have Michael Strahan's career. You know how Strahan's like a mega superstar right now, hosting Good Morning America or whatever the show he's on now. He's been on all those morning shows. Has a major role on Fox in terms of the NFL. Strahan's a major celebrity. He's got his own clothing line now. That's the career that Tiki Barber wanted. But Tiki Barber retired early to do that. And then he realized, I'm not great at this whole thing.
He filed for bankruptcy, didn't he?
Tiki Barber?
At one point, yeah.
I think he may have, yeah, a couple years ago. But remember, after he retired, Joe, it was 5-6 years, he said, I want to play football again. But it was too late. It's dude, you're 35?
Yeah, you can't just leave and jump back into it.
You can't play football anymore. And I'm afraid that's going to happen with Gronk if he doesn't make this decision sooner rather than later. He can't wait a couple of years. Okay, he's going to age out of the league. So Gronk's going to make this decision a lot sooner than he ultimately thinks. All right, so that's the question I have for you at 617-779-7937. Are you starting to get aggravated with Rob Gronkowski? Are you getting annoyed with all the hints that he may return? We'll get you a trending in just a second here on WEI.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Sox beat the Indians 5-1, taking 2 of 3 from Cleveland in the series. That's right, the Red Sox won a series. Xander Bogaerts belted a pair of home runs and drove in 4. Nathan Eovaldi ended up picking up the win on the mound. Eovaldi threw 2 scoreless innings. The Sox host the Orioles Friday night for the first of a 3-game set. Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold will have the call on the Shaws and Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. The Pats held a joint practice with the Titans this morning. The two teams will practice again tomorrow before their preseason game in Nashville on Saturday. Some injury notes. Rookie N'Keal Harry was on the field at the start of practice, but did not participate. Harry's dealing with a hamstring injury. Philip Dorsett left practice after appearing to land on his hand. Dorsett did return to the field, but did not further participate. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
You know, to see him kind of regain his, you know, outward spirit, you know, has been fun to see. And he's enjoying himself. And I think everyone who knows him just wants the best for him. And you know, I think he's enjoying his time right now.
He did show up at my golf tournament, and he looks like he's down 50, at least 50 pounds, maybe 75.
50 pounds? Oh, my God. No way. He's down like probably 15.
15? That's it?
Yeah, he's a huge. I mean, he's 6'7". He's still a monster.
All right, that was Tom Brady earlier this week on Monday with Greg Hill talking about Rob Gronkowski. Has Gronk annoyed you this offseason? 617-779-7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
93.7. Interesting there. Said he found himself again. That was weird. So maybe what Brady's alluding to is the fact that Rob Gronkowski over the past couple of years has not been happy playing football. And this summer, maybe he found himself and he was playing catch with Tom Brady. Maybe that was part of finding himself, but doing these activities and whatnot. Maybe he felt beat down, Rob Gronkowski did, by the whole process of the NFL, dealing with the contract issues every year, dealing with the injuries. Maybe that's where Gronk was at. But I'm telling you where I'm at with Gronk. I gave you the six things this year. He's already hinted six times that he's coming back to play football, either him or his agent or somebody else. There's been six hints that he's going to come back, and I laid them out for you, okay? So that's part of the reason Rob Gronkowski has annoyed me over the past couple of years. The other one is last year, I hated how long he took to say he was coming back. Enough's enough. I understand why Belichick was frustrated with him. I understand why Belichick wanted to trade his ass, because Belichick's thinking to himself, I got to deal with the guys that want to be in this damn locker room. And if you don't want to be here, I'm going to trade you away. And he called Rob Gronkowski's bluff. He said, if you really don't want to be here, Gronk, I'm going to trade you somewhere else. If you really have a big issue with the way I'm doing things, hey, you can go somewhere else. He called his bluff, and Rob Gronkowski said, no, I only want to play with Tom Brady. I only want to play here, Bill. Okay, I only want to play with this team. All right, and then the other thing that makes me irritated with him is the whole Jared Cook situation. If he had said right after the season that he was retiring, nobody's going to have an issue with Gronk retiring. We could all understand why he would want to retire. But with the Jared Cook situation, then you couldn't actually say, yeah, you're going to be the starting tight end, because you were in a situation where you didn't know if Rob Gronkowski was going to come back because he was holding it over the organization. Couldn't make his decision. Well, if you've been thinking about this for 3 years, it seems like he couldn't make the decision. I mean, come on, man, make the decision a little bit quicker. So he screwed the organization over on getting another tight end. That's the way I read the situation. You literally had Jared Cook saying if he knew that he was going to be a starter, maybe the decision would have been different. Or at least Mike Reese reporting that part of the reason he went to the Saints is because he knew he was going to be the number one tight end for Drew Brees. And by the time they found out Gronk had retired, he didn't want to go back on his word. Jared Cook wanted to stick with his agreement to the New Orleans Saints. So he's annoyed me this particular offseason. I don't know about you. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so here, WEI Late Night. Let's get to Mikey's in North Providence tonight. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, you know, that was a, you know, unfortunate, you know, thing with Cook. But yeah. The thing I'd like to focus on here is I think you were underselling the rushing offense. I think that the number one rushing offense in the league is well within reach for this team. They were the number one rushing offense of the playoffs last year. They had the best running attack, and that was without, you know, having Damian Harris on the team and even having Bolden in there as an extra running back in the mix. He's got this team loaded up to grind it out big time. And something people forgot, I mean, I've heard certain people, you know, who don't need to necessarily be named, but, you know, kind of ignorantly throw the idea out there that, oh, well, I heard that they were running the ball, but they only ran two more carries a game. Well, you know, Sony only played about like 10 full healthy games in the regular season last year, and they still ended up being the number five rushing attack. When he wasn't out there, did they run much? Hardly at all.
No, it's like when he was on the field, you knew they were running. But I get your point, Mike. Towards the end of the season is really when they upped the running game, and especially when they got into the postseason, they were running the crap out of the ball.
Yeah, and this is going to be a major part of the team. It was a pretty much a 50-50 run-pass split. You know, Sony by himself in the playoffs had as many carries and yards as Emmitt Smith did back in 1992. The same exact number.
Wow.
Except he had twice as many touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And then there was James White and Rex Burkhead and their numbers on top of that. Hell, Rex had three touchdowns running himself. You know? So, I mean, this running attack, he's taking it to another level. This absolutely is going to be taking it to another level.
Mike, I think part of it is this, too. And I heard Mike Lombardi say this a couple of weeks ago. When everybody else zigs, Belichick tends to zag, or however that expression goes. But if you look at the way that the league is orchestrated now, all these defensive linemen are now more athletic, but they're lighter. So maybe this is now the new advantage that Bill Belichick sees in the NFL is, if I have all these lighter defensive linemen, and that goes with linebackers too. You look at linebackers nowadays, they're the same weight that safeties used to be back in the day. They're basically safeties bodies playing linebackers right now. So maybe what he sees is, all right, it's going to be much easier to run the football at a high level of efficiency right now. We'll take advantage of that glitch in the system.
There's that, Brian, but there's two more things, and they're very important. One, if you want to start tilting more to leaning on your defense, then having a slow grind it out instead of lightning quick, 2-minute drive,
right,
dragging out a little more, helps your defense more.
Sure.
Secondly, with all the time of possession, that really helped a lot in the playoffs. But most importantly, and this is something I've been harping on with other people, it's the fact that Tom barely got touched in the playoffs. He had one sack over the three games. But beyond that, he was like, I mean, they weren't even coming near him most of the time, because between the running attack and the quick passing, it was like encasing him in bubble wrap. And if you have a 42-year-old quarterback that you need to keep healthy, and the whole, franchise revolves around this guy staying on the field and being what he is, right? This is the ticket to keep him on his feet. And if the best pass rushes in the league weren't able to get near him in the playoffs, what is some mediocre team going to be able to do to him at week 9?
No, it's a great point, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. You look at the Chargers, who have two of the best pass rushers in the league, or at least two of the best 10, Bosa and Ingram. They couldn't get to Brady. And you even saw Bosa on one of those mic'd up segments, and he gets rid of the ball so damn quick. But to Mike's point about the running game, when you look at this Patriots team, they really upped it in the postseason. And that's why when I look at the roster, this is the most stacked roster Belichick's really had since, I would say, at least 2014. Remember, 2014, you had Gronkowski in his prime. You had Revis come over. You had Dante Hightower. You had Chandler Jones before they traded him away. And remember, Chandler was a great player here. It's just Bill Belichick did not want to pay him. So that was a loaded team, that particular scenario as well. And then some of the teams early in the Patriots dynasty, like the 03, 04 teams after Rodney Harrison came over from the San Diego Chargers at the time, those teams were stacked as well. But you look at this defense, look at the depth chart. They're all first and second round picks, right? And you bring over a guy like Gilmore, pay him all the money, because you know Belichick builds his defense from the back frontwards, unlike other teams where they build it around the pass rushers. Belichick says, I can generate pass rushers, so all I need is the guys in the back end. So that's why he has a guy like Gilmore, pays him all the money. Turns out everyone's questioning that move in the first year. Now he's an all-pro selection in his second year as a member of the Patriots, and most people consider him right now, entering the season, the best cornerback in the NFL. So the point being, Belichick has the most stacked roster he's had in ages, so that's why he's saying, I'm building this for the post-Brady era, right? I'm building this so it's a very quarterback-friendly system. When I have to ultimately replace Brady, it's going to be a stacked team that I can put that quarterback in, right? Because I'm going to build this around my running game and around my defense going forward. I'm taking less of the stress off Tom Brady, and we even saw that in the postseason last year, the start of that. That's why I said, like, if you got to choose between one of the two parties, it's got to be Belichick going forward. He's the future of the organization. And I know that's crazy to say at the age of 67, but now it seems like Robert Kraft has come over to Bill Belichick's side in all this, right? Because he did not give Brady that long-term contract extension. And what Brady ultimately wanted, and he can say whatever he wants now because the contract's done, and Brady, it's not going to bother him at all during the season. In fact, if anything, it's going to help him from the Patriots' perspective, because Brady's going to be motivated to say, oh, you don't want to give me an extension? You don't want to give me this long-term contract? If anything, it's going to motivate Brady to play even better, because he's looking for any ounce of motivation, if you will. But from the Patriots' side of things, Belichick's saying to himself, well, from an economic standpoint and from a salary cap standpoint, why would I extend this guy 3 years? Okay, there could be that Max Kellerman cliff season at some point coming. So I want to make sure that I don't get myself into a situation where I have an older quarterback that's not productive whatsoever. That's never been part of Bill Belichick's DNA. He always gets rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late. That's always been who Bill Belichick is. And if you look at this contract in particular, it's Belichick that won this battle. Because remember years ago, going back to, 2014, when ultimately you had the discussion of the report from Seth Wickersham, or not 2014, 2016, 2017, whatever it was, the Eagles Super Bowl year, which would be 2017. All the Super Bowls go together now, right? But that particular season, you had the report from Seth Wickersham that came out that Belichick was demoralized. That was the word he used, demoralized, when he had to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo, right? So Brady won the war then, or the battle then, because now it's like Brady's the guy for the foreseeable future. But now at the end of his career, when they go back to the negotiating table, Robert Kraft sides with Belichick, it would appear, right? Because he did not give him a long-term contract extension. So now Robert Kraft, it would seem like he's doing the smart thing, which the smart thing in this particular scenario is to side with Bill Belichick, because the player is aging, the player is getting older, and you want the best football guy, because he's a GM, he's a coach, he's everything in the history of the sport, to be the one ultimately making the decision. That's why I side with Bill Belichick in this thing. Now, what will be fascinating is down the road, say hypothetically, if you're in a situation next year where Brady does actually test the market, which I personally never see him doing. Maybe he tests it to threaten the Patriots, but I never see him playing for another team. I just don't see it happening. I know a lot of people are like, well, if he feels like he is underappreciated, in the words of Giselle, I remember years ago she said that, then maybe he'll leave. I don't buy into that whatsoever. I really don't. I don't see Brady, call me crazy, having the balls to go play for another team. I don't think he wants that Brett Favre final year in Minnesota. And despite the fact that Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl, I don't think he wants to look like Peyton Manning on a football field with another team. And you're risking that by going to another organization that's not well run. Oh, you can go to the Titans. They're a great team. Yeah, we'll see how good they are when Tom Brady gets there, because the Titans have not been a great team over the years. But, oh, Mike Vrabel connection, all this different type of crap. Although I would say if I'm Vrabel this week, I'd be recruiting him, because my quarterback, Marcus Mariota, sucks. Okay, that dude is terrible. But nonetheless, if...
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Bill Belichick. Going forward, I'm dealing with Tom Brady on a year-to-year basis. But if he does come back, if Brady does test the market in my hypothetical, and he comes back with a two-year, $60 million deal that the Tennessee Titans are offering him, or whoever the case may be, whatever the team is out there, and Brady comes back and he says, hey, Robert, this is what I got. 2 years for 60 mil. If Robert Kraft sides with Brady, then I think you have a bigger concern, because then what you're doing is you're undercutting Belichick again. If Kraft says, yeah, I'm going to give him the deal. Like if he just has a typical season like he did last year, where it's like, it's good, but it's not Brady prime good, right? Belichick's not going to give him a 2 year extension worth 60 mil. But if Robert Kraft says, we got to do this, Bill, then that's when I think this organization really has problems. Because as long as they have Belichick, they're not going to have issues. But if that becomes the case and Belichick's like, no, I'm not doing this crap again. You already made me trade away Jimmy Garoppolo once. I'm not doing this again. You're not undercutting my power as the football man in this organization again. That's where I think the Patriots could actually run into problems if Kraft says, oh yeah, Brady's staying on a 2 or 3 year extension. And it seems like based on what just happened over the past couple of weeks, when it seems like Kraft sided with Belichick and let Belichick do the contract, it seems like he's siding with the Belichick side of things, which is the right move for this organization moving forward. All right, if you want to hop on board, your number is 617-779-7937. You can also weigh in on the Rob Gronkowski situation. Is he starting to annoy you this offseason? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
Just go wrestling.
Only one question. Can you fumble in wrestling?
Oh,
can't do that? What?
You can. You can fumble around.
I'm just asking.
You can.
I thought he was going to announce that he's getting his bartender's degree, you know, so he's so good at mixing drinks and all that kind of stuff. He's the ultimate frat boy. I thought that's...
He already got that.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got a doctorate in mixing drinks. Is that what it is?
All right, that's Rob Parker on FS1. I don't know what he's alluding to. What fumble is he alluding to? I don't remember, like, Rob Gronkowski having a big fumble in a game. I don't remember that whatsoever. And nonetheless, is Gronk starting to annoy you this offseason? 617-779-7937. He's starting to annoy me. Okay, just tell us if you're coming back or not, man. None of these hints. None of these hints. I'm sick and tired of it. Anyway, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe did an interview today with a bunch of guys that work for CBS in terms of the NFL guys. One of the guys was Boomer Esiason. And basically, in Ben Volen's article in the Globe, he was asking them about the possibility of Gronk returning this upcoming season. And here's what Boomer Esiason had to say. Quote, I wouldn't bet against him coming back. Okay, Bill Cowher. I have a hard time believing that Tom and Gronk haven't talked just from the standpoint of let's see how things unfold and to stay in shape, end quote. Now, let's also add to what Bill Cowher is saying. The two worked out together, okay? So, yeah, him and Tom are staying in communication. Nate Burleson, he's coming back by week six. Okay, so Nate Burleson has an exact time period here. He's going to get the itch. In week seven, Brady's going to say, want to play catch? And by week eight, Rob will be like, yeah, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, baby. So Nate Burleson says, hey, by week eight, the dude's playing. How about Tony Romo, the lead analyst on CBS right now? Romo was asked about Rob Gronkowski being down 15 to 20 pounds, which has been the rumor and also has been reported. Now, Gronk admitted he's down about 15 pounds. Brady said it's not as bad as you think. He told Greg Hill that the other day. He's not super skinny. It's just he hasn't lifted, apparently. That's the report. There's reportings that Rob Gronkowski has not lifted since he retired, which I don't really blame him. If you're
Why would you?
If you're Rob Gronkowski, if you're really not playing football, what's the point of lifting, right? You've been lifting your whole life. It's not like he's in bad shape. The guy's still ripped up. He's just doing a lot of cardio, yoga, that type of stuff. But anyway, Romo was asked about him being down 15 to 20 pounds. He said this, quote, he's plenty big and strong enough. 15 pounds isn't going to change a whole lot. There might be one defensive end that's tougher to block, but overall agility, quick twitch for a guy his size, that's what matters most. He'll be fine. And I'm pretty sure that Rob Gronkowski, who is a world-class athlete, who's been one of the best athletes in the NFL for a number of years now, I'm pretty sure if Rob Gronkowski wanted to, he could get back into football shape relatively quickly. Okay, get in the gym, do a couple of squats, Gronk, and basically do a couple of bench press reps for like 4 weeks in a row. And guess what? Gronk will put that 15 pounds back on. I'm pretty sure he knows what to do in terms of the nutritional aspect of all this as well.
Get all the chicks wet.
Yeah, yeah, that too. That too. He's been having some fun this offseason. I also wanted to touch on this real quickly. By the way, if you want to weigh in on Gronk, the number is 617-779-7937. So some interesting stuff at the Patriots-Titans joint practice today. So if we all remember back to last season, the Patriots somehow got thumped by the Tennessee Titans. Remember that game? Probably don't want to remember that game. It was 34-10. Somehow the Titans killed the Patriots. Remember, this is a Patriots team that actually got killed by the Lions as well. And they lost to the Dolphins on that weird game at the end when Gronk was out there. Remember that? It's just a weird game. Some weird games, rather, that they lost last season. But anyway, so after that game last year, Deion Lewis, remember he was talking about the fact, is this game personal or not? And this is what he had to say, quote, hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked. So today, he was asked, hey, do you regret those comments that you made last year after you beat the Patriots? He said, nah, man. They all know it. It was fun and games, and guys were talking trash today. That's what you do. When you go out against somebody, you talk trash and compete. You try, and you get better. Does anybody really think that Deion Lewis means that? It was just a joke at the time? No, he was dead serious. You remember the video, right? Watching the video of Deion Lewis. Yeah, what a liar, man. The guy's a complete liar. He's a phony. He was pissed off, and he wanted to rub it in Bill Belichick's face because Belichick didn't want to pay him money because, you know what? He plays the running back position. So Belichick said, why would I pay this guy money? Go ahead, go to Tennessee, get money. By the way, Deion Lewis ended up, like, losing his job to Derrick Henry. Remember down the stretch of the season, Henry emerged as, like, a legitimate running back for the first time in his career, and Deion Lewis was hanging out on the bench.
Huge fantasy guy.
Yeah, Derrick Henry the last couple of weeks definitely was. But from the perspective of Deion Lewis, he's lying today where he says, nah, they all knew it was fun and games. No, it wasn't. You had a very serious look on your face, and you were puffing your chest out like, oh, you proved Bill Belichick wrong. Okay, so for on one day, the Titans beat the Patriots in a regular season game, and then the Patriots went on, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So who was it that had the last laugh in all this? It was Bill Belichick. And who was right at the end of the day? Oh, yeah, Bill Belichick. Because this is what has happened to Deion Lewis. He's another guy that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Dante Scarnecchia to a lesser extent because he's in charge of the offensive line. They made you into a star, man. That's what they did. They made you into a star. So you should be giving Bill Belichick credit for getting you paid by Tennessee. Because what's happened since you left the Patriots, oh yeah, you lost your starting job in Tennessee. Derrick Henry became the better running back. And then when you look at it from a Patriots angle on all this, what's happened to New England since you left? Oh, well, they drafted this guy by the name of Sony Michel in the first round. And what happened with Sony Michel? Sony Michel went out there last year. He led the postseason in rushing yards, and he had 6 rushing touchdowns. Okay, so the Patriots are fine without you. So you acting like you won this thing, like you won a battle over the Patriots last year. That's how he was acting, like, oh, see what happens when they don't have me? You're cheap. That's what happens when you're cheap. You get your ass kicked. You weren't joking. Maybe some of the stuff you were saying on the field to your ex-teammates, I'm sure some of that was all fun and games or however you want to put it. But it wasn't a joking manner when you said after the game, you get your ass kicked when you go cheap. Well, I mean, they got their ass kicked that particular day, 34-10. But after that, the Patriots are pretty damn good. Okay, they went on. They won the Super Bowl, this whole thing. You were there a couple of years ago, Deion Lewis. So it happens with all these guys, all these guys that come through New England. How many of them actually are stars after they leave? Not many of them. The only ones that are stars are like the legitimate guys, right? Like Chandler Jones, still a really good player in Arizona, but the Patriots like Chandler Jones. They just got rid of him because they didn't want to.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Pay them an exorbitant amount of money that was going to affect their salary cap. Brandon Cooks is still a pretty good player in Los Angeles with the Rams last year. But again, the Patriots didn't want to pay him. All these guys that they let go, like at the times, we start getting aggravated with some of the guys that leave here. But the reality of the situation is this. Belichick always gets these things right. How often does Belichick mess up these decisions? He always finds a way to get these particular things right. So Deion Lewis said that must have been a rough day for him to see Bill. Hey, what's going on, Bill? I'm sure Bill Belichick was happy to see Deion Lewis today. By the way, Mike Vrabel was giving Tom Brady some crap. When Tom Brady was going out to the field, he's yelling at him to run out there. If I was Vrabel, I would not be aggravating Tom Brady whatsoever. And I get he was just joking around. But if I'm Vrabel, my number one thing this week is, look, I know where I'm going with Mariota. We brought in Ryan Tannehill to, like, compete with him for the job. It's... Yeah, that was Brady and Vrabel back and forth when Vrabel is yelling at him to yell to run onto the field. Brady's like, yeah, why don't you worry about your own team? Yeah, there's enough to worry about there, Mike Vrabel, because you guys got Marcus Mariota as your quarterback, and then you're looking at it, you bring in Ryan Tannehill to literally compete with the guy. Because Marcus Mariota, first of all, he can't stay on the football field. Not that Ryan Tannehill can stay on the football field, but Mariota can't either. Not to mention the fact Mariota sucks. He averaged 180 passing yards per game last year. So if I was Mike Vrabel, screw this year, man. Getting the team ready for the season. That's ultimately what he's doing at these practices, right? Trying to get his...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Coach Vrabel. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, the Patriots sang happy birthday to Mike Vrabel? I'm like, what the heck's going on here? Why are we playing happy birthday? Okay, so it's Mike Vrabel's birthday today. So nonetheless, if I was Vrabel, though, what I would be doing is I would be recruiting Tom Brady. That's what I'd be doing. Because, look, you're not going anywhere with Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill. You know Brady, right? There's a little bit of an issue there with him and Bill Belichick in terms of the contract. He's going to be a free agent. So all my attention this week, if I was Mike Vrabel, if I was that Tennessee Titans coaching staff and the executives and whatnot, hey, Tom, want to go out to dinner? hey, Tom, we got some nice avocado ice cream in town. You want to hang out? Want to do some stuff? What do you want to do? You want to hang out, Tom? Yeah, we can show you around Nashville. It's a pretty cool city. Like, this should be the recruiting tour for the Tennessee Titans. That's what they should be doing because they need a goddamn quarterback bad. All right, a lot more to get into, including the Red Sox. I saw something today from a Red Sox team in a win that has me really, really disappointed. I'll tell you what that is in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.